What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another live Dolphin Collective. Shout out to everyone in the chat, everyone hanging out. 14,000 over 200 now. People are still hitting that subscribe button, especially during the dead part of the year. We appreciate the heck out of all of you. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, Prize Picks. You play $5, you get 50 instantly with that promo code HMA, as well as SeatGeek. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app, again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video.
There was only one mistake in there, and I want to point that out. This is a shout out to UTD. It said Buffalo at Miami. Oh no, never mind. Erase. Stupid comment. I was gonna say it had 1 p.m. It was the last game of the season. It's not the last game of the season. So maybe I should sit this one out again like I did Friday.
Listen. I'm looking up the Brazil Scotland World Cup on SeatGeek. Man, if I put my code in, I could get a $270 discount because the cheapest tickets are $2,750.
Still a big discount though.
Check them out. Use that promo code.
People are saying Brazil. I'm not a soccer aficionado, but people are saying Brazil is washed. They're not that good. I watched them beat up on Haiti like Haiti was a stepchild. Like it was just bad. Not to say that stepchildren don't need love, by the way.
So let's jump into this. We got some camp battles to talk about. A ton of pretty much every position besides quarterback. There's a battle.
Really? Besides quarterback?
There ain't no battle for a quarterback.
I mean, it should be a battle for like at least the first 2 weeks. It should be a job that's earned, but we know how this organization, a soft organization, conducts itself. Which is they do not believe in quarterback battles and haven't had one since
ever.
No, they had one back in 2008, the first year. No, they had for a week when Ryan Tannehill and Matt Moore competed for a week. Oh my! After David Gerrard got hurt,
you just gave the organization a soft title.
What'd you say?
You just gave the organization the title of soft.
They are soft. This is the franchise, the mentality of this franchise is soft, consistently soft. And this is another perfect example because Malik is not going to have to compete.
And the Patriots, by the way, did I miss this? The Patriots have quarterbacks competitions for like a 20-year period.
Patriots have a well-established quarterback. You know how many starts Malik Willis has over Quinn Ewers? Three. And actually, it's a wash because the three he had with the Titans were just tragically bad.
But the point is, the issue is not that the Dolphins have never had quarterback competitions. The Dolphins never had it start quarterback since Marino left. That's the issue there. It's not that.
Well, if they had a quarterback competition, maybe then quarterbacks would feel a need to actually perform better. If Ryan Tannehill had ever gotten a competitor,
he would have been a better quarterback, really.
Yes.
Is that what we're going with it?
No. Or maybe we wouldn't have wasted 7 years. You
that, pick. That part of it, yes. I mean, I'm yeah.
If Tua Tagovailoa had some quarterback competition, maybe we wouldn't have wasted 6 years. I'm just saying.
That's fair, but the issue is not the lack of quarterback competition. The issue is not having the right guy and then not being able to identify quickly enough that, yeah.
That wasn't the right guy. Well, if you had quarterback competition – We argue this to the – this is probably the only argument that we ever agree on, Poupard. It's that if they had a better backup than Skylar Thompson, and Mike White, we wouldn't have given Tua that contract.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
If they ever felt like, hey, maybe we should try to get somebody better in here to compete with Tua or push him or make him feel a little pressure. He sat out all of the offseason program except for individual drills and I think 7-on-7s. And then they watched for an entire offseason. The offense looked like trash and did nothing.
I got scared.
The only thing we ever agreed upon. Absolutely.
So what position should we start at with this competition?
Quarterback.
Let's start at wide receiver, because I think wide receiver is a very interesting one. There's 12 wide receivers on the team. Tutu Atwell, Chris Bell, Kevin Coleman Jr., Caleb Douglas, A.J. Henning, Terrace Marshall Jr., Donovan McCulley, Jalen Reagor, Jalen Tolbert, Malik Washington, Taj Washington, and Theo Huys. Who are your starting four wide receivers right now?
All four of them?
Four?
Yeah, I'll give you my four.
Okay.
Caleb Douglas, Malik Washington, Jalen Tolbert, Tutu Atwell. Those are my starting four.
And I can tell you, you're wrong.
Well, as of right now, that's where the competition comes in.
And Malik Washington are probably the only guys who have legitimately probably front pole position seats to win starting jobs. And I'm not sure that Jalen Tolbert can be healthy because he's got that compression sleeve on one of his legs. That's never a good sign. And Malik Washington, I think he's got probably the toughest battle because I think Kevin Coleman Jr. is a slot. He's a real slot, and I don't think Malik Washington's a real slot. And I think the real competition is Caleb Douglas versus Malik Washington for that flanker role.
So who are your top four?
Tolbert, Washington, Coleman, and then I'm probably going to go with Caleb Douglas over Tutu Atwell because I've seen Tutu Atwell practice once, one impressive for one day. And I'm
so the only one you disagree with me is Tutu over Coleman.
Yeah.
Alan?
It's more likely that Tutu is going to be a 3-3 or a 4-4. Can't help it. Sorry. Doug's leaving. Doug's had enough. Enough of this.
God damn it.
By the way, this needs to be said. The only reason we're not mentioning Chris Bell is because he's probably going to start camp on PUP. Otherwise, to me, he's
definitely one. Absolutely.
Malik Washington, absolutely. Jalen Tolbert, absolutely. Mm. Kevin Coleman Jr., before I anoint him, I'd like to see him maybe
in pads. In
the preseason game catch a pass where there's a possibility of getting popped over the middle because he's not big. And catching 7-on-7 or practices in the spring over the middle when you're not getting hit, a lot easier to do than – and we have seen other guys like this who shined and then the fear of getting hit or the reality of getting hit occurs, and it's a different story. So I'm not ready to anoint him just yet.
And they will all look different when pads come on.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Right. Which is why, yeah. So definitely Malik, definitely Tolbert. I definitely think Tutu Atwell is going to be in the mix, and maybe they use him as a gadget-type player. And then – I don't know how often they're going to go four. I think they're going to go with two, three tight ends. Probably more often they're going to go with four wide receivers.
Are we all in agreement that Chris Bell, at minimum, is going to miss four games this season?
Half the season.
I'm not ready to say that, but I'd say it's more likely than not.
Yeah. TD, who's your four?
Malik Washington, Jalen Tolbert, Caleb Douglas. And I'm going to throw Tutu Atwell in there, but I'm going to step out on a limb and say the fourth guy not even on the roster yet.
Mm. Interesting.
I like it.
It's going to be what, a high-profile veteran that's going to be signed? Or just a
waiver claim?
I don't know if Deebo Samuels or Brandon Ayuk is a high-profile. No, I'll just say it.
In your dreams.
But I think in camp, once some guys start getting cut, they're gonna look at some more. They're gonna and you might find a piece that can help. But I'm gonna give it to Tutu right now. Again, Kevin Coleman, I gotta see more. I can't wait to see camp, see how he does.
He's a, the one thing I like about Coleman is he's exclusively a slot, and he's I don't think there's anybody else that is exclusively a slot on the roster. Maybe Taj Washington. And Taj Washington, I've liked him in the past. I don't think he's. Come on.
He flashed in practices a little bit, and then that was in, and he had a shot in the Baltimore game, and he fumbled it, and it shouldn't be. And then the other part of it, he's always hurt, and he didn't work in That's teams hurt. In the practices.
He got hurt. Like one of the first practices we watched, and then it was a hamstring injury that he was fighting to, you know, and literally. Players like Taj Washington got to know this is your opportunity. If you don't see
yeah.
it's over, big dog.
Is there a real possibility that Jalen Reagor makes the team and gets some looks, or he's Hell just no. a camp body?
Camp body.
That man was a first round. That man got picked over Justin Jefferson.
People make mistakes by the top executive in the NFL.
He wasn't on an active roster at all last season.
Yeah.
And TD, to your point of like picking up somebody who could become a surprise, look at the guys they're signing right now. It's there's a pattern. It's former UFL guy. It's the guys who were like couldn't get a job last year. It seems that's going to be their MO through the calendar year 2020.
Maybe we get to a point where they start practicing and put on pads and they start to like what they see and they say, hey, maybe we could do something if we actually have a decent receiver. I don't think it's something that we can absolutely rule out. Very, very small chance, but what's supposed they start beating up on teams in the joint practices and the exhibition season? Then they'd be like, oh, okay. I'm drinking the TD Kool-Aid. And I've said this before in this podcast, it's about six players on this team from Savanaya, Kenneth Grant, Dante Trader.
Savainaya.
Still getting it wrong. Greg, what?
Greg Dulcich.
There you go.
Those guys, if they take the Patrick Paul leap, man, this could be a good team.
What'd you put in that Kool-Aid, TD?
What flavor is it? I'm thirsty.
Listen, I'd go to jail if y'all thought of Patrick Paul leap.
Good leap. Who out of the not hot names can make the team from the AJ Henning, Terrace Marshall Jr., Donovan McCulley, Theo Weiss? Out of those four, because we're not running with just four receivers. We're going to probably have, like, what, six on the active roster?
Somebody's going to get hurt, and that's going to create a window for somebody to do well. And I think it's going to be Theo Weiss,
too. Yeah, because I was saying, he flashed a little when he got his shot last year.
There's something in there.
There's something in there, but there's something in there that's preventing that something from coming to the surface.
Goodness.
Do we usually run six or seven?
No.
Not six. Five, six.
Yeah,
five, six. They brought four. I mean, you're going to keep seven because you're going to do two practice squads. So, yeah. So, but you know, and nobody ain't claiming nobody on this roster.
wow.
God.
Including Dang. Your quarterback, which is why you're going to keep only two.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking about that. Let's shift
Raiders
over.
Might get Cam Miller back.
But Tom Brady was there last year, and they saw him the whole year, and they was like, "Yeah, no, we're good."
Can we have? Did we have a Brandon Sorensby conversation? Did we?
Yeah. When it broke, we had a conversation, and we talked about would the Dolphins do it, and I think we're all in agreement that.
Is there something on your mind, Omar?
There's something on my mind. Last week was a very slow news week. And everybody in these major networks were talking about him being a first round pick. And I'm thinking to myself, like, when was he back in the day when we were talking about quarterbacks declaring? He wasn't even mentioned. He wasn't even a name brought up. He wasn't even we talked about the South Carolina quarterback and how he's deciding to go back. I never heard about this kid before 2 months ago.
Yeah. People are saying that. If he declared, he would have been a first, and people think that someone's going to give up a second supplemental.
That's such a lie. If he had declared, why wouldn't he have declared if he was going to be a first?
That's money. That's a lot of money.
From my understanding, I think what people are missing here is the talk about him being a first was a 2027 declaration, declaring in 2027. They felt like he would be a first round pick. And because they all figured he was going back to school even before all of this happened. Now, this is another wrench in it where he gets authorization to go back and says, no, I'm going to the NFL now. So
no, they were still fighting it, and then they were going to punish Texas Tech if Texas Tech played
him. If they played him. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
There is a very, very good conversation, and I encourage Pupar to listen to it, that the president of the University of Miami, you listen to it if I say so.
Sorry. Yes, sir. Right
now. The president of the University of Miami, I can't remember his name, was on the Joe Rose show last week, and he touched on so many issues of college athletics, and the first question was Sorensby, and he said, this is a problem that we are going to face more in the future of college athletics because of how rampant gambling is and how gambling is an addiction, and it's going to compromise our kids and our talent base. And he's like, this is the first of many that's coming down the pipeline. And I was just like, whoa. And the whole conversation, he talked about conferences eating each other and alignment. If you have not listened to that interview, it wasn't just about the University of Miami. It was about all of college athletics. And it was such a very, I was thoroughly impressed with this man and his leadership skills. I as a president of the University of Miami, now I actually believe they're going to win a championship because that vision.
Because of the president.
Yeah. I mean, it all starts with the leadership, I'm a firm believer that the leadership of every organization is why businesses, teams do well or don't do well. And
exactly how much, I would normally agree with you, but exactly how much does the president of a university have to do with this?
Oh, his fingers are on everything, especially athletics. He's the athletic president. He is.
You mean the AD?
No. He's hiring. And he talked about hiring the AD. He talked about hiring the last guy from Clemson, stealing and poaching him. He's saying he's still in a search for a new athletic director, what they're looking for. It was a really good conversation. You will find a lot of insightful things about it. And my point about it was I left that conversation feeling extremely confident about the leadership of the University of Miami, not just the athletics, but the school in general. When I say very impressive interview, Pupar, I mean immaculate, like five stars.
How about Ruben Bain? We haven't talked about Ruben Bain Jr. Okay, let's get. I'm sorry, I'm trying to read.
No. What about Ruben Bain Jr.? No. Ruben Bain Jr. No. Was very unathletic.
No.
Ruben Bain Jr. was very unathletic in his videos of him.
What is all this for?
I'm trying, man. By the way, because you're speaking of the Buccaneers and videos, I want to mention this because it actually relates to the Dolphins. Did you guys see what happened to Mo Camara? Man. They're running a drill at Tampa Bay Buccaneers practice. Why are you shrugging your shoulders?
Because guys run into each other all the time.
Then he busted his knee. He wound up being like carted off the field. I haven't seen
that. Best thing ever for him.
Oh, there you go.
IR instead of released. Congratulations, Muhammad.
Or waive with an injury settlement.
Anyway, let's get to running backs.
Anyway, Dolphins won't spend more in the fifth round pick on Sorensby if they take him at all, and he'll be gone before they.
Yeah, because his lawyers are trying to get him not being punished by the NFL. He's going to get punished by the
NFL. He's got to get punished.
Yeah. So running backs, we got Devon Achane, Donovan Edwards, Ollie Gordon, Anthony Hankerson, Carl Washington Jr., and Jalen Wright. Obviously, it's Achane, Gordon, and Wright. But who's the number two? Because the things I'm hearing, Wright isn't that right in camp so far. So is Ollie the number two? Are they going to have a rotation at two, three?
I disappeared because that was just as bad a joke as my 2-2-3-3. So
I actually liked it. I got it like a minute later, but I was like, that's pretty good.
Because Devon's your one, but you're not going to run. Devon's not Ricky. You can't run him into the ground. So we have to have a 1-2 punch. Who's the two out of those guys, out of Ollie and Jalen Wright? From what you've guys, again, no pads, so you can't really tell. with the running game. What are you guys seeing out of those two running backs?
Ali by a hair, I would say. He certainly looked better in the spring practices, but he was inconsistent last year. So was Jalen Wright. And Jalen Wright, I'm kind of a little bit over talking. Everybody's talking about how fast he is because it's fast in a straight line. And once he gets in the clear, yeah, he'll break away from defenders, but is that going to happen? And I do not like him in the passing game. I don't like his hands. I haven't, and the truth is, I haven't necessarily noticed the three young backs actually all look decent in the spring practices. I said what I said, all three of them, particularly Edwards and who's the other one? Carlos Washington Jr. I don't know that right now there's a huge difference between those two guys and Gordon and Wright, which leaves me a little bit less than completely happy with the running back core beyond HM.
What's the name of the guy who broke his neck last year?
Alexander Mattison.
It's very hard for me to evaluate backs without the pads because Alexander Mattison looked like a jag before we put the pads on. And then I was just like, this dude is good. Yep. I am not a Jalen Wright fan. I've made that clear over the years. I just don't see vision there. I'm going to wait until we actually put pads on and have joint practices and exhibition season. But I believe this is Ollie Gordon's job to lose because Ollie can do much more. And on top of that, I would like to address the fact that I think their depth at running back is piss poor. Mm-hmm. And I think,
is it booty cheeks though? It's booty cheeks.
Booty cheeks is the next level. Piss poor. Booty cheeks is their depth at safety. Booty cheeks is their quality of safety.
Okay. It's right. Bad, piss poor, booty cheeks.
No, it's bad, mediocre, piss poor, then booty cheeks.
TD, what's your thoughts of the running back room?
I'm okay with the room. For the simple fact, I know you say they got to do it by committee, but it's going to be a different kind of committee. You just paid HN. I think you're not going to use them as much as a receiver because you're going to let the current receivers, it's an equal opportunity. Like everybody's like number threes or number twos or whatever. And I think he's going to get 70% of the snaps. HN's going to get 70. One of these guys going to get about 22. The other's going to get 8. And I think that's going to be the rotation, and I'm going to give it to Jalen Wright right now because he's proven a little bit more than Ollie Gordon last season. They both carried the ball 70 times, and Jalen Wright averaged 4.1 yards a carry. Ollie Gordon, 2.8.
Hold on. The situational carries matter.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, the situational carries matter, but we also still had the same type of team. In as far as the run game last year, it shouldn't do anything but get better this year. Again, Jalen Wright still, I think it's his job to lose. I'm not saying he can't lose it, but I think it's his job to lose because regardless of the situation, he still produced better when it came to game time last year. Ollie really didn't produce much at all. I understand it's shorter down distance sometimes, but that's what he's kind of used for, if anything. So I'm going to go with Jalen Wright. They're trying to find their next A-chan just in case he goes down, and they're going to bank on that speed that we don't want to talk about and try to find a guy that could replace A-chan if he was to get hurt.
But that speed is great if you get into the open, but if you don't have the wiggle and the vision to get into the open, that speed is useless. And here's the thing about Jalen Wright. You should not need to be required having a wide open lane. This is what when Devon Achane in 2023 had that ridiculous yards per carry average, he wasn't nearly as good as he was last year because last year he was breaking tackles. That year in 2023, he just was running through wide open lanes using the speed. And going back to Jalen Wright, a guy that big and that fast in a straight line where you look at the 40 speed, for him to go in the fourth round, immediately tells you, okay, what's wrong with his game? What's wrong with his game is he's got no wiggle and the vision.
I agree with you. You shouldn't need a guy to need wide open lanes, but it's our circumstance at the backup running back position.
Well, I think you're judging Ollie a little bit harshly for my taste, but that's just me.
Ollie, keep in mind, Ollie was once college football's top running back. Not to say that matters now, but he's got power. He's got speed. I think he's got decent hands. Obviously, he's got to be able to showcase that. Whoever's the top blocker is really going to handle that next role other than Devon Achane. And keep in mind, Achane's not big. No. And Achane's not getting bigger. Mm-mm. And yes, he's had relatively one season where he had some good help, which was last year. But you gotta factor in this guy is going to be battling something at some point, and you're going to need that second back.
Now, last year, I remember during camp, you guys were talking about Ollie running upright. Is he still running like that?
Yes, he's still upright runner. He's still a very high runner. Yes. Okay. I mean, I don't know how he can not run upright. He's massive. He's big.
Yeah, he's a big
man. He's a big boy, but he runs upright. Yes.
Yeah, going into the college season in 2024, wasn't he like a Heisman? Like he was up there to be a Heisman finalist, like going into the season, and then
yeah, he probably was because he led the nation in rushing the year before. So,
the only thing about upright runners is supposedly they don't last very long in the NFL because they're very big targets and they don't you get direct hits on them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see. Ollie will have his opportunity, and so will Jalen Wright. The question is, who would you put your money on? My money is on Ollie.
Mm-hmm. It also doesn't help on short yardage situations, basically where you want to get that. A lot of it's about leverage and getting lower than the defender.
Okay. Yeah. He did well short yardage situations last year. Now.
Not always.
Not okay. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Edge rushers. Mm. I didn't realize we had so many.
Isn't there a competition?
Edge rushers?
so many? We have.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I didn't know we had 10 edge rushers.
I know, but how many are like proven commodities as opposed to?
No, I'm not talking about like starters. Okay. I'm just talking about, I didn't know we had that many men.
How many make the team? 4, 5?
Well, we got Robert Beal Jr., Seth Coleman, Cameron Good, Max Llewellyn, Rodney McCraw, David Ajabu, Mason Rager, Chop, Josh Uche, and Trey Moore, who is an edge/inside linebacker. That's the question that we will talk about now.
No, Trey Moore is in the – Trey Moore's a line. Yeah, I guess so. He's a Sam. So
Are your starters? Now, obviously Chop, but it's like
– You hope.
Uche?
Yes.
Uche. Are they going to go with the experience? Because that's your experience is Chop, Uche, Ajabo, and Robert Beal Jr. Those are your experienced guys.
What are the options, though? Who else are you going to go with?
That's where this topic
Trey Moore is making the team. I can tell you Chop is clearly making the team. Uche is clearly making the team if they're healthy. David Ajabo is probably the wild card for me. Mm-hmm. And then Robert Beal Jr., I don't know much about him, but he didn't really practice much when we saw him. He had an injury. That's also one of those units where one injury is going to just set that thing off. And the hope is that one of these rookies raises their hand and says, I'm capable of doing the job. But I personally believe that both rookies are going to be on the practice squad.
Both rookies in Max Llewellyn and Mason Rager or Trey Moore?
Trey Moore is on the team. Trey Moore is making the team. If not,
Max Llewellyn and Mason Rager, you think are going to the practice squad?
Yeah.
I agree.
How does Max Llewellyn look being a seventh round pick?
Invisible.
The only play I noticed him at all during the spring practices open to the media, as I always reference, is he let, I believe it was Carlos Washington Jr., get behind him. He had him in coverage and got behind him very, very easily for a long completion.
Yeah, the rookies are look like rookies. Let's just, except for Chris Johnson and Caden Proctor, the rookies look like rookies.
Now,
I'd say Lewis Moore didn't look like a total rookie to me. He looked like Lewis Moore looked like a guy who knew what he was doing.
Okay, I like Lewis Moore too. I think he's probably got as much of an opportunity to start as everybody else.
Yep.
But safeties is, as you know, booty cheeks.
We're getting there. We're getting there. When the pads come on, maybe someone shines. Maybe all of a sudden we're like, hey, look at this guy. He's actually showing up. T, what's your thoughts on the edge rushers? Because right now it ain't looking good.
It's the room I hate the most. I hate our edge room right now. I'm gonna be honest with you. This is the problem. And all of my optimism, this is our problem right here. Like if we could be better and have, like, I'm gonna be honest, Chop Robinson, I think he's gonna be good. I think he's going to create pressures. I just, in me, don't see any dominance as far as imposing will on guys in front of them. Using skill to beat guys is good, but it only carries you so far. Sometimes you got to go take their soul. You got to literally take what you want. And I just don't see that now. And, you know, Uche, it's a solid piece to have on the other side and see what it works out to be. But outside of that, man, like, we could really get exposed this year in that one area more than anything, and it could crumble something that could be special. So I'm hoping for the veteran that comes in camp that has been there, done that, maybe a shell of themselves, but is still more reliable than what we have now to make me feel better. This is the one area, if we can just make a move or two, not a big star, but a solid like piece that can hold it down, I would feel like, yeah, I'll be on a even higher than I am. But this is the issue.
That's how I feel about Uche. I think Uche is that guy that flashed in New England. And if he can get back to that with us, I think he could be very solid.
I really want to know what happened to him during his career after New England. Like,
because when he went to Philly, he was not the same guy.
Supposedly his metrics in the, whatchamacallit, in the pass rush win rate, whatever pressures, were actually pretty good last year, even though he didn't get to the quarterback. I have some breaking news. Do we have a music? Very good. Okay. The NFL has announced the reporting dates for training camp. I know a lot of fans are interested in this. For the Dolphins, rookies will be reporting on July 21st. Veterans will be reporting on July 28th, which means your first practice is going to be on July 29th. And confirmed, and we already knew it. Now it's officially official. The Dolphins will have one joint practice at Washington August 12th, one joint practice against the New York Giants on August 20th.
There we go.
Now we're going to return to our regular programming.
Which one do you guys want to do next? Do you want to talk about the corners, or do you want to just go to safeties?
Corners needs to be discussed because we, outside of Chris Johnson, we don't really know who's going to be the two guys on the outside. Okay.
We do.
Okay, who?
All right, let me go through the names. Hold on. I'll go through the very long list of corners we have. Alex Austin, Daryl Baker Jr., who's injured, Miles Battle, sorry, Ethan Bonner, Juju Brent, Storm Duck, who's injured, AJ Green III, Chris Johnson, Jason Marshall Jr., Ethan Robinson, Marco Wilson, and Omar Brown. They have him as a DB. Is he doing both safety? Well, you can't tell us, but I'm assuming he's doing both safety and corner. So
we can tell you, but then we'd have to kill you. So
I'll just mute you when you tell us. Long list of corners. No sexy names on there. As of right now, it seems like the front runners to start is the only corners with a single digit on their jersey, which is Chris Johnson and Juju Brents, 3-8.
And Jason Marshall Jr. when they go nickel, and Johnson's a nickel.
Do you think Jason Marshall Jr. is going to be slot, or do you think
he'll be outside?
He'll be outside guy. Who's the slot?
He definitely has said on the record that he.
Now, I'm not asking you what you've seen, but who do you think will go to slot, Juju or Chris?
You mean who do you think will go
to nickel? Nickel? No,
nickel.
It's Chris Johnson.
It's Chris Johnson. Nickel. And, you said Poupard, you know who the starters are. Who are the starters?
I said Brenton Marshall on the outside when they're in nickel with Chris Johnson as the slot.
Okay, and you are confident that Brent will make it through all of the offseason?
Well, no. I am. When I say the starters, I'm talking about obviously to start with. If he's injured, he's not going to be in the starting lineup, I don't believe.
All right. I will go with your Brents, but I'm not so confident about Jason Marshall Jr.
Okay.
And so who do you have out there?
I really think if it's a fair competition, I think Ethan Bonner can beat out Jason Marshall Jr. Ethan Bonner is deceptively fast. And while he might be attacked quite often, I think his skill sets make you believe that he can be a playmaker in the NFL. Now, will he be a high-end playmaker? No. But I've seen more from Ethan Bonner than I have seen from Jason Marshall Jr. But Jason Marshall Jr. has a draft stock, has a draft in his favor.
So Bonner's been there longer. He's got that in his favor.
And nobody's there to protect him. He's got to earn everything he gets.
Who's there to protect Jason Marshall Jr., who was a Chris Greer
draft pick?
He's a Chris Greer draft pick.
He's a Chris Greer draft pick, but all Chris Greer draft picks are getting favoritism right now. So are benefiting from favoritism.
So I got a question.
Are they not?
Who else other than him would you suggest that? We're not talking about keeping Champ Bailey or Daryl Green in the background here for Jason Marshall Jr. with all due respect.
You got me on that.
Let me ask you this real quick. In the event we go like cover three or something, is single high? Is there a safety that we like better moving down to the corner over any of these guys?
I couldn't name you. I can't even name you.
They had a few guys that they were trying to cross train.
Bro, I got one safety on this team. One safety. I think you can cut the whole list of them, and I'm not sure if teams would claim them, except for Dante Trader.
Interesting.
You could cut the whole group, start fresh, and I'm not sure anybody would claim them.
Man,
Louise. Out of the corners, because then we'll get to safety. Any unsung heroes possibly popping up in the Alex Austins or Marco Wilsons? Or fun fact, the only guy that is under 6 foot out of all those corners I listed is Marco Wilson. Every other guy is 6 foot or taller.
Ethan Robinson, short.
Ethan, I have him at 6'1. The smallest cornerback.
Ethan Robinson at 6'1? Oh, hell.
No, they have him at 6 foot, Ethan Robinson.
I'm looking at Ethan Robinson right now. I have, 6 foot, I'm sorry. Omar Brown is, all of these, the smallest cornerback, while they have Marco Wilson and Dante Trader as the smallest guys in the secondary at 5'10", the smallest guy is Chris Johnson. I've looked at them all together, and the smallest guy was Chris Johnson. Which, and I'm fine with that. Whatever. I don't care. He's a nickel. We drafted a nickel in the first round.
He'll play outside.
We'll see. Let it pan out.
I'm fine with it. Position to play 700 snaps.
Doug, to answer your question, I saw some decent things from Marco Wilson and Alex Austin at different times. I don't know if they're going to make much of an impact or even make the roster, but there are a couple of plays where I was like, oh, okay.
Zane Anderson is the one who's the guy to beat, because Zane Anderson knows.
We're talking corn. That's different positions. We're talking
we'll get corn. The safety.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
Wait your turn, damn it.
Gosh darn it. Ethan Bonner, which we have talked about a few seconds ago. Could he sneak up and be a starter?
You said that. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, he did. I'm asking you.
He's probably the fastest. He's probably the fastest cornerback on the team.
Could he?
Might be the fastest player on the team outside of Devon Achane.
Jalen Wright in a straight line. Jalen Wright's faster. Doug, answer your question if I can do so uninterrupted. Could he?
What'd you say trying to do? Huh?
Exactly. Thank you very little. Could he? Sure. Again, it's not like the Dolphins have anybody set really in stone other than Chris Johnson's going to start somewhere in the secondary outside of that. But projected right now, I'd go Brinson and Marshall. Bonner could sneak in, sure.
TD, what's your thoughts on the cornerback room?
Brents. Chris Johnson and Brents, and obviously Chris Johnson going down to the nickel in those situations. Man.
It ain't looking good, TD. Sorry.
Are you starting to dislike it as much as the
edge? Yeah, my bad, dog.
No, I mean, Jason Marshall Jr., let's see what happens. Let's see. I mean, again, this is a group right here. I got one guy in Chris Johnson who's going to move around. I think that this team is going to bait a lot of teams. They're probably going to be in single high as sometimes, especially with the edge position being an issue. They're going to want the extra in the box. I think we're going to play more single high than people think and let those guys compete on the outside. And that's going to kind of cover up a lot of this cornerback and safety issues as well. I just think that they're smart and that's how they're going to approach it. I mean, that's all I got for you, man. I just hate talking about the defense right now, man.
I feel you. Real quick, though, I do want to shout out the sponsor, Prize Picks. Play $5, you get 50 instantly in your lineup when you use that promo code HMA. Fantastic, fun, daily fantasy app. You can even do future stuff. You can do future stats, future win losses. Super, super fun.
Click the link in the description. I want to know if they're doing over under on the drafts.
I killed the draft this year. I think I put in like 7 and I got 5 of them right. I missed on 2 of them. I did really well in the draft. But this is what TD's got going on.
All right. Omar, you're talking NBA draft?
Yeah.
Or NHL draft. Sorry.
You know I'm not talking NHL draft. Congratulations on on getting your brother.
You mean the Panthers? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They just backed in that team, man. Oof.
What do you got going on here, TD?
I just been sticking with baseball, man. I'm in love with picking these pitchers, how many strikes they're going to have. I also showed y'all last time the tool that they have to show you what they've been doing as of late. You can start to see some trends and patterns. So I got some pretty dope ones. I went with a 4-pick flex this time. Just in case I get one wrong, I could still win. Okay, that's the thing I love about Prize Picks as well. If you take the flex option, it is a little bit of a lower payout, but it's like insurance, man. You could hit and still feel good about your winnings. And if you miss one, you're still in the game. And sometimes even if you miss two. So $10 will pay $80. You could tell me on this. Go on to Prize Picks and follow me. You can see all the things that I put in, but make sure you use code HMA, play $5 to get $50 instantly in lineups. And as always, it's very important to us, make sure that you play responsibly. If you have a problem with that, they have resources on the site that can definitely help.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's get to the hottest, most talented group on this team, bar none, hands down. These guys, we got Troy Polamalu's in here. We got Ed Reed's in here. We're talking safeties. We got Zane Anderson, Major Burns, Lonnie Johnson Jr., Lewis Moore, Michael Taft, and Dante Trader Jr. Fun fact, Major Burns, let me ask the old man on the panel, is there a character in MASH named Major Burns?
I believe there was. Somebody mentioned it to me. I was not a regular MASH viewer.
Yeah, so it's from How I Met Your Mother, my whole Major Burns thing. People were like, MASH? I'm like, do you think I watched MASH?
One of the worst shows ever.
passed away, though. The guy that played MASH.
Major Frank Burns. There you go. Somebody in the chat chimed in. There you go.
Major Frank. Yeah, I didn't watch MASH. My dad watched MASH. I don't know.
Used to come on like 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
It was a sitcom about the Vietnam War. Like,
yeah.
Medics,
that's how you knew, like, all right, I gotta turn the TV off when you start hearing that music with the helicopter. You're like, oh, I gotta go sleep. I gotta shut the TV off. What's going on?
It's interesting though, Doug. He actually passed this year, rest in peace, at the age of 95.
MASH was about the Korean War.
Okay, sorry.
It was about war. War. So yes, the safeties. Who are your starters? I think your starters are Dante Trader Jr.
And Dante Trader Jr.
No, it's not. We got our starting safeties. That's one thing.
I think we're going to see a healthy amount of Zane Anderson. I think Halfley likes Zane Anderson because he worked with him and he could see what he could do.
Zane Anderson.
So I'm gonna go with Trader and Zane as of right now. We'll see when training camp starts. Let's go with TD. Let's flip it around. Who are you starting safeties?
Dante Trader Jr. is starting this year at the safety position. And Lonnie Johnson Jr. is going to start this year at the safety position. I keep trying to tell y'all those are going to be the two, and they're going to have good seasons. Lonnie Johnson, he better show up this year. A lot is right. All because he's been talking. He's been talking. I done heard his interviews, and I believe in what he's saying. And
sometimes I think you fall out of favor.
Yeah, sometimes. And now you better get back into favor. You better get into good favor and show it on the field and play well. But he's I just think that he's one of those cuss players that in the right system, I think he can thrive, and we'll see what, you know, Jeff can cook up. I think that's something that's underrated. We don't talk about much. Certain players, it's like the Van Ginkles of the world. Like, where do you put a Van Ginkle? Under a Flores system, you can make him an all pro. You know, and literally in the traditional system, I don't think that's in his cards. So I think that's what Jeff Hafley specializes in. And Lonnie Johnson, I think, is one of those guys who can be a benefactor of it.
Here's the thing about the safety position. I think that's one of those positions that comes alive when you put the pads on and everybody slows down and you see who's more reactive as opposed to who's just a pure athlete. Let's hope somebody shows up once the pads come on, because
not good.
No. And let's just hope somebody shows up, because I can tell you right now, Poupard's homeboy, Lewis Moore, he's probably got as much of a chance to start as anybody on that team, because I would tell you he impressed me more than anybody else I could name.
It's another group that has relatively tall people. Zane Anderson, 6'2", Major Burns, 6'2", Lonnie Johnson, 6'2". Then you got Lewis Moore, Dante Trader at 5'11". You got little Michael Taft at 6 foot. So that secondary is going to be...
Michael Taft at 6 foot?
That's what they have him at.
Don't believe all those things. I was...
Sorry. Yeah.
Alan, what's your thoughts on the safeties?
Punt. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you mentioned edge defender being your nightmarish position. This is it for me.
I'm with Poupard on this.
I mean, Ryan. Yeah, Dante Trader Jr. is the one guy. I mean, he looked great in the spring. Showed enough last year where you can feel.
Let's calm down on great.
Did I say great? What did I say?
You said he looked great in the spring.
You look very good in the spring.
Okay, thank you. I'll accept that.
You look very good.
I'll do great.
How dare you?
And nobody else really stood out. You know what? I'm going to say he looked great in the spring, okay?
There you go. Stand on your world, man. Stand up and foot down.
He looked great in the spring.
Don't let Omar beat you up.
I know, right? And then beyond that is like flip a coin right now. I could see Lewis Moore winning it. I could see Lonnie Johnson Jr. Zane Anderson's body of work. He was a special teams guy in Green Bay. And it's great that Jeff Hafley has the familiarity with him and all that. But he was, again, and he did play behind two really good players in Bullard and Xavier McKinney. But, again, to me, again, he's a special teams guy. So
hey, just like Malik Willis, they saw him in practice.
Every day.
Scout team player every day. They clearly liked what they saw. They brought him here.
They didn't guarantee him $45 million over 2 years like they did to Malik Willis.
That's the most important
position on the field.
And in their interview, they kind of made it clear, we feel we got a really good backup that we trust on the field whenever we call him. They didn't even sound like they felt like he was the guy to elevate as a starter, but he can get some reps and give you quality ones.
Listen.
You talking about Malik or you talking about Zane Anderson?
Man, don't be disrespectful like
that. I think Zane Anderson is the new Michael Thomas, the new who last couple seasons was that special teamer that
the gunner? Elijah Campbell.
There you go.
Did he ever find work, Poupar?
He was with the Giants, I want to say, last year. I don't know if he's still with them.
Elijah Campbell?
Yes.
He just finished with the Dolphins, so he signed with the Giants this offseason?
No, he wasn't with the Dolphins last year. Elijah Campbell, the safety special teams guy. Yeah, he signed with the Giants. Was that last year or this year?
No, he was this year.
He was with us in 2025.
Okay, then he signed with the Giants this offseason.
good. Good for him.
Cut and sign with the Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I see Zane Anderson. I see him being that Michael Thomas type.
Do you know that Ife Melifonwu has more on his resume than every safety on this Dolphins roster?
Yep.
He's still out there.
I'm not an Ife Melifonwu fan, but that's what you're working with. You got nothing there. Zip zero.
I think we should really, before we get to donations, I think we should get to the hottest camp battle. The one that I know Omar is going to be wide awake with the binoculars out.
You know it's not special teams then because he's asleep for that.
Jane Gonzalez versus Riley Patterson,
I thought y'all were finally going to talk about Quinn Ewers finally getting his opportunity to show what he can do with the first teamers. That he's not spraying the ball all over the field like some people, even though somebody wrote a piece that he wasn't spraying the ball. Liar.
Right back at you, dude. Right back at you.
Right. Listen.
Doug, when you said Omar was going to be happy, I thought you was talking about Penix and Tua. But
we know that's not a compliment.
Who?
We know that.
Garp Gump, Scottish bottlenose dolphins are short and super stocky like Zach Thomas. Keep up the good work, fellas. TD is right about the Finns winning 9-10. Garp Gump, your fellow Scotsman. I got a funny story about your fellow Scotsman. I don't know if people know this with the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Garp Gump's fellow Scotsman went over to New England and drank them dry. Mm-hmm. They had no beer in New England.
Wow.
Drank them dry.
I was told.
Real quickly, with my tennis buddy yesterday, I made the comment of like, can you imagine if Scotland played Ireland in the World Cup? You want to talk about an alcohol drug? No, I'm sorry. I mean to realization. Sorry.
At the Marlins game today, the Tartan Army, which is 8,000, will march in a parade that goes from Ball and Chain in Calliocho to the ballpark, which will be led by a group of bagpipers and Billy the Marlins. Ball and Chain at 4 p.m. The parade route will end at the ballpark with the Scotland fans walking the warning track with their bagpipes. Scotland's World Cup player, Billy Gilmore, will throw out the first pitch. So Scotland is taking over Marlins Park today, and they will be playing Brazil on Wednesday. So South Florida's alcohol is being consumed.
John Williams in the chat said, same as England fans in Dallas. I saw this Japanese fan have, I think it was Texas barbecue. I don't know if it was Dallas or Houston.
Oh, I saw that video.
The bone on the rib was this big. The meat was this big. And he took a bite, and he didn't speak English, but he did like this motion, like it's melting in his mouth. The overseas fans coming here and eating are having like an out-of-world experience with the food that we have here. It's so funny to see, especially the English people. That's funny.
Why we're all fat.
Yeah, we are. Javier.
Yeah, Poupard's lost a lot of weight. But you're not even recognizing.
The funny thing is all four of us have really, you know, when we started this, I was up around 300. I'm down to 260. So, yeah, we're all losing weight. We're getting in shape. We're going to try out for the team. They need safeties. So the four of us are going to try out.
You're more of a defensive end, Doug.
I'll be the only one who matches the height requirement to try out for the team. Javier with the tenor says, hey, guys, I watched a video of Tom Brady talking about practice squad players. Is it true some guys don't want to play Sunday and feel more comfortable being in the practice squad for their career?
I don't
know. At a tenth the money, sure. Yeah, we'll go with that.
I don't agree with that.
Hell no.
Interesting. Hell no.
And everybody who's on the practice squad, they just wait for that one moment, that one chance that they get, and the Michael Thomas moments. And those rarely come, but they do show up. They do come. I want to make a point about Ethan Bonner. Remember, if Ethan Bonner hadn't got hurt against the Lions in that exhibition season game, Ethan Bonner would have been your season opening starter.
Mm.
Yeah.
By the way, The practice squad money is what we calculate about $100,000 maybe for the year. The minimum salary is about $900, that neighborhood. Really, guys are going to want to stick it to the practice squad? Come on.
And they don't even get all that. The agents take a percentage, and depending on where you play, taxes.
I could see some guys who would want to be career practice squad guys. Like, I'm doing what I love, and I'm not a starter in the NFL, but I can push these guys in practice.
They want to be career special teamers. The Cameron Goods, I mean, of the world.
Of course they want to elevate, but some guys, you don't think it's some guys, you know what? I'm good here.
No.
The closest TD is AJ Feely. Shortly, if you're old enough to remember, shortly after the Dolphins traded a second round pick to get him, ostensibly to take over for Jay Feeler as a starting quarterback, basically kind of revealed that he was finally preferred to the role of backup, actually.
Chris Jensen with the tenor said, long time, first time. I've been a Dolphin fan for 54 years, was five in 1972, and have seen it all as a Fins fan, originally from W and West New York. Keep up great collaborative work, and Rush is back on tour, Alan. Oh, are they?
Oh, interesting. Guys, they have a drummer, a German drummer, who was apparently is completely killing it, and this was one big concern. Legendary and all that. She's absolutely killing it, but I'm just not a huge Rush fan. It wouldn't be my first choice, but yes, I'm aware they're on tour, and I like some of their music.
Anika
Nairn. What'd you say, Katie?
Anika now, she's a drummer. She's pretty dope.
Alterion with the tenor said, edge, corner, and safety performance will be a big part of Halfley's first-year evaluation. Can he do a lot with nothing? He needs to handle the defense. Malik needs to lead the offense and shock us all. Yeah, this is all about finding it. Good.
The name I'm going to bring up right now, as he needs to do for this defense, what Brian Flores did.
Thank you.
I think Brian Flores maxed out a lot of those defensive players back then.
Yep. If we can get that type of performance from Jeff Halfley on defense and Malik shows up, man, come on. Y'all know we going to the playoffs if you get those two things.
We'll see. Noel B said, aside from Willis and Achane, which player getting injured would be most detrimental to the team? Pick an offensive lineman besides Austin Jackson to me. Pick one. That's who I think.
I'm going to go with Jordan Brooks.
TD?
Achane.
It's already in there. He said aside from Willis and Achane.
Oh, crap. I go back to the O-line then. You're right. It'll be anybody on the O-line, and I'll say the most important offensive lineman right now would be Patrick Paul.
Yeah, but Caden Proctor can replace him, hopefully well. I'm not necessarily sure, but yes.
I might go Aaron Brewer.
I like Andrew Meyer. I think he could hold you down for like six games. So I'm not sure Jacob Broderick.
Hopefully we don't have to find out.
Yes, yes. I used to do this thing where I looked for the most irreplaceable Dolphin every year, and I'm still going to do it. It might be Greg Dulcich.
Interesting.
By the way, did I miss it, or when did he become Travis Kelce?
Gonzalez? Hey, I like Greg Dulcich. You guys remember last year.
What are your options?
Did Ben Sims look that much inferior as a receiver in the spring?
Touche.
Thank you.
Right. Leno TV is back.
You think about it.
Messing with TD some more. He said, to the weasel of Weasel TD, after listening to the great Omar and Allen evaluation of your team, you still see 10 wins. I say, hell nah.
And I say, you're threatened, Leno. The local Bills fan that hangs out here every time because he's threatened. He's trying to get information. You know what's coming. Winter is coming, for those who know.
Ohio John said, with the secondary concerns the team has, I'm really surprised Cater and Jack Jones didn't get another year. Money.
Cater.
Not Cater.
Cater yeah, but they probably want their own guys. McCaffrey wants his guys and money.
Cater got what?
Basically veteran minimum in KC. Yeah.
And didn't Jack Jones get bent like veteran?
Jack Jones went to the 49ers.
I didn't even see what.
And he's a Cali kid, so that's great for him. Jack's got a raw deal. A lot of people think he's really talented, but he's his worst enemy. And
You're right, Omar. Got a vet minimum deal.
Yeah, and I would kind of agree with that. He just has to get, you know, mentally tougher. But then we got people like Rasul Douglas out there unemployed, so he'll be fine. Guys will show up a month in the training camp and get jobs.
So you think we bring somebody in?
Not a big name.
They don't have. Plus, who's going to want to, again, it's going to hurt to hear, but who's going to want to come play for us right now? Everyone knows what we're doing. We're just trying to start something good.
I mean, but you will get a great opportunity to come here and win a
start. Oh, yeah, you'll be able to start.
If you've never had a starting spot, this is where you want to be.
Yeah. Which is why they're signing.
Jay Tillman said, Omar says that mobile quarterbacks get hurt. So that being said, how many games does Ewers start this year? Any truth to the rumor Tyreek wants to come back? Hopefully none.
Tyreek wants a job. And Tyreek actually, I think it's going to be hard for him to leave when many of his kids are living here. So, you know.
So there is some truth to it that he wants to come back?
No, Tyreek wants a job.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think it was Schefter who dropped this very casually in there a couple of weeks ago, like talking about like, well, Tyreek's probably not you know, finding a job in anywhere near until the middle of the season. That's if he plays at all in 2026.
I haven't seen him working out lately, video wise, and there was like speculation that he might need another surgery. I don't know if that's true or it's not, and honestly, Drew Rosenhaus has not addressed Tyreek other than him DJing. And, you know,
they just dropped a vlog yesterday.
Who? Tyreek?
Yeah. His whole process with the doctors, the different surgeries. They did like a 1 minute. It was going through everything that he's already.
Where?
I literally watched it yesterday. It was
on what platform?
I had to go look. But it showed him at his visits. It showed him doing like working out and doing this all type of little stuff, and then the last thing the doctor said to him, the video ended, the doctor said, so what you're gonna do, you're gonna live your life or you're gonna go back at it, and the video ended
17 hours ago. It got 8,800 views yesterday.
Was it YouTube or where?
YouTube. It's a minute and 7 seconds long.
Yeah, he was driving by the stadium. Too. He's going to be in.
Tyreek needs attention. You think I'm playing? Ask Pabard. Tyreek cannot handle people not paying him attention.
That's right.
A lot of his metaphors.
We're going to get out of here. We will see you guys again on Friday. Whose turn is it this time? Maybe it's all four of us doing a pre-record. Maybe it's three of us. Maybe it's two of us. Maybe it's none of us. You'll have to wait and see on Friday. Go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Fins Talk over there on youtube.com/TD Fins Talk and Roundtable Sports, and myself here and on my channel, youtube.com/DougLeeBeWrong. We will see you Friday. Have a great rest of your week.